Oh, it might be four.
Oh, it is. Four. He's
four wickets in four balls.
Unbelievable.
For Cameron Boyce. Forget Scott Boland. This is the Boyce CG right now.
11 off this over. Maxi, that's gone dead straight, and nobody's getting that one. Six more. Thompson in. Glenn Maxwell works at leg side. 41 balls it's taken, and he's got his second Big Bash century, Glenn Maxwell.
Wow.
Astonishing stuff last night called on Big Bash Nation. It was Cameron Boyce with five wickets, Glenn Maxwell with the highest ever score in Big Bash history. I'm sure it put a smile on the face of Alistair Dobson, the BBL and WBBL general manager. Alistair, appreciate your time. That was gripping stuff yesterday.
Yeah, good morning, Tim. It was pretty phenomenal. A couple of really exciting individual performances and just what the Big Bash is all about.
It is too little too late for both those franchises. Disappointing you don't have a Melbourne team in from here on in.
Oh, yeah, I think it's been a really competitive season and the five teams in the finals are rightly there. But, yeah, it's always we'd love to see, you know, the Stars or the Renegades in the finals alongside the others. So, but that's the way a season goes.
Yeah, it does, and it starts tomorrow night with the Eliminator. It is the Strikers take on the Canes. Then the qualifier through to the final will be the Scorchers or the Sixers, and the Sydney Thunder also are waiting their contest to be taken to be placed on Sunday. COVID affected. How have you coped? I know we've spoken about this before, and I know it's a common topic of discussion. How has the BBL coped with crowds in particular? I mean, it's been pretty stark looking at some of the venues. It's almost heartbreaking to be really honest with you, Alistair.
Yeah, I think, Tim, we're all dealing with, you know, a new era, if you like, in terms of understanding families and particularly kids and families who are the heartbeat of the BBL, and their willingness to go to big public events at the moment is obviously, you know, a factor in that, and equally having to shift some schedules around and some matches around at pretty short notice all have an impact. But, you know, we saw last night when the action's great, the number of kids in the crowd last night, we can't wait to get back to that next season.
Yeah, very true. And not wanting this conversation to be all negative, but you even hear from players, and I think the most recent one was Marcus Stoinis, saying he believes the season's too long. That must have come across your desk several times in recent weeks, that the season, for many, players included, think the season is too long. Are you starting to agree with that?
Oh, it's clearly a topic of discussion every year, and I think this year probably feels as long as any season, given what everyone's had to go through and you know, yeah, players being away from home and, you know, under pretty strict protocols in the end, certainly makes it feel longer. I mean, 56 games in reality, it's a 46-day season. So it's certainly not as long as, you know, some other sporting leagues. But that said, each year it's about trying to find the right mix of how long it is, how many nights we can play, working in and around the test season. But look, it's definitely a topic of discussion each year. And something we're really mindful of finishing this year inside the school holidays, which is always a big focus for us. But, we hear the commentary and the discussion and certainly take that on board.
Yeah, again, I'm sure it will be discussed going forward. Obviously, with the Ashes on, and what a, you know, fantastic Australia dominated, and a lot, most of our interest was on that. Test player availability. I mean, even some have gone back into the system now. Khawaja's already gone back in. We saw Nathan Lyon playing for the Sixers as well. That's really difficult to schedule the Big Bash around predominantly an Ashes series, but a test player availability, is that something that you would try to work in going forward?
Yeah, I think it's been one of the factors of BBL since day one is having to navigate in and around the test matches, and always had trouble getting, you know, the test stars into the BBL on a regular basis. That said, we could see pretty quickly yesterday how much they want to play, whether it was Marnus playing for the Heat or Nathan Lyon playing for the Sixers and other players coming back in. So we know how keen they are to play, and we work closely with our clubs every year. It's a factor in our scheduling of how do we create windows for those players to be available. But clearly, you know, in such a big Ashes summer, five tests spread over a period of time, that there's not always the gaps that we would like.
Where does the Big Bash sit, again, with you? We think that the IPL is probably clear number one. I always felt that the Big Bash was number two, the attraction of international players. The international players that are being attracted to the BBL are no longer the ilk of what they were, because I'm sure of other international short-form series. How do we get over that? How do we make sure that the quality of players coming down to play in our Big Bash can return to what we were used to in years past?
Yeah, I guess firstly, I'm not necessarily sure I'd agree with the assessment that they're not what they used to be. I mean, we saw Andre Russell, Rashid Khan, Sam Billings, a number of big-name players this year, again, particularly in the context of international travel and the difficulties of getting out here. That said, we want the big names playing every year, and we work really hard with our clubs to make sure they can do everything they can to get those players. I think the reality, though, is the international, I guess, schedule, the international landscape has changed significantly in the last 5, 6, 7 years with the number of not only international cricket being played, which is through the roof, but equally additional, franchise tournaments, if you like, around the world that these players, want to be part of as well. So it's a different dynamic. We've got to work really hard. Part of it is making sure that we put on the best show. We've got the best crowds, the best stadiums, the best lifestyle when they come to Australia. And we know that's what goes a long way to attracting those players. And equally, it's about making sure we can stay competitive from a remuneration perspective. So these are big topics that we discuss with our clubs every year. And I think they deserve credit this year for being able to get out the players that we've seen in the face of some of the challenges that exist.
BBL General Manager Alistair Dobson, our guest on SEN Mornings. Tim Gossage in the chair for Gerard Whateley. I respect that, but at the same time, shouldn't our cricket bodies all be in an open discussion around the world with everyone? So why do we keep treading on each other's toes? Why can't we keep? And I understand, England works. The England players are preparing for the West Indies short form series, and that some had to exit. I get all that. That happened through the COVID world, get back, and otherwise they probably would have been able to stay a bit longer. I understand all the dynamics, but the crossover of so many tournaments now shortly is diminishing the game, and in particular one I care about, the Big Bash.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair assessment, Tim, to be honest, in terms of a need for leagues and I guess cricketing nations to try and collaborate on how the annual global schedule works. And I think that's something we're working closely with the ECB on the 100 and making sure our players can be available as much as possible between those two, between the Big Bash and the 100, and equally, obviously, from an IPL perspective. But I absolutely agree that more can be done to coordinate and optimise for everyone.
Indian cricketers, I mean, we've got a very, 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 very small taste of our first Indian cricketer playing in the IPL, out of the IPL, who's played in the IPL and coming out. Are we any closer to breaking down that that wall, that Indian wall, to get some of those great names? Because I can imagine what it would be like if we could attract some of those big-name Indian players to our Big Bash.
Oh, it goes without saying, we'd love to have them here. It hasn't been possible historically, for pretty well-known reasons. It's a conversation we have regularly. I'm not going to go into where those discussions are up to or the opportunity, but needless to say, it's another one on the list of things that we discuss regularly and doing everything we can to try and create opportunities, whether that's for players like Unmukh Chand, who played the last two games for the Renegades. I think we got a sniff of his talent and obviously the interest he brings, and that just probably reinforces the opportunity.
Again, the technology, we had a couple of people text in so far, Alistair, and you and I have had this discussion as well in regards to, no DRS, the expense of getting it around the country, and the fact is everyone's in lockdown and you can't transport it here, there and everywhere. I get all that and respect it, and I think we've got through the season for the best part. But there's been some notable howlers, and that's pressure on the umpires, who've also been going through some difficult times. On reflection, for next year and beyond, will you be thinking about DRS and sort of that returning to be a part of Big Bash cricket?
Yeah, we've been pretty consistent in the reflection that if we could have brought a form of DRS in this year, we would have got very close to doing so, and that remains. I think we've also been consistent that whatever we do bring in, we wouldn't automatically mirror what's in international or test cricket. Just we would be very keen to do it in a way that is more synonymous with BBL, if you like, and that's about having as much fun and bringing as much colour and life to it as we can. So there's a lot of creative thinking going on around that. But, yeah, we will definitely consider that again. I think we saw some of the challenges even in the earlier test matches around the things that we foresaw from a BBL perspective and knew would be even more problematic in a competition that moves so quickly around the country. So I think in the end that was the right decision. And I think to the umpires' credit, they've had an amazing season. They've done a great job. There's been plenty of examples where I think that on first glance on the TV or a commentator has given it out and the umpy hasn't. And then know, on reflection, the umpy was proved right. So there's plenty of examples where I think the umpires had a great season, and we'll look to do what we can again next year to add whatever's needed to keep that going.
Some wonderful highlights. So obviously, we saw last night with Glenn Maxwell an innings for the ages. Cameron Boyce, where to now for him, trying to get a contract? It looked like there's not one on the table from the Gauge just yet, but it'd be sad to see him lost in the system, but I'm sure he can find a place next year. He's too good a player. TV ratings, you've been happy with them. What's your feedback from Fox and Seven?
Yeah, it's been really strong. I think, you know, in the context of some of the challenges that we faced around keeping the games going and having to postpone a couple of games and honestly in some time slots that we wouldn't have planned to put games in, you know, in a normal season, I think everyone's just wrapped that the competition's been able to proceed, and we have seen some amazing individual performances that are certainly what, you know, go a long way to dragging the audiences in. So, but we're equally already talking about next year with both our broadcast partners on some more things we can do and try to bring back, you know, the colour and crowd and noise that we've probably missed this year, unfortunately.
A couple more. Alistair Dobson is the general manager of BBL, and he's been kind enough to give us his thoughts as we go into the final series, which is absolutely brilliant. Starts tomorrow night, Big Bash Nation here on SEN. We'll have it all covered, the Strikers and the Canes. Scorchers and Sixers, Sydney and to be confirmed. So a lot to play out there, the last five teams left in the competition. Just someone on the text line, and we had this conversation yesterday and prior to that, just in regards to the Renegades, and somewhat they look like at times a development side where absolutely at the top end they're chock full of talent, but the drop off to their talent is of concern. What impact do you have as an administrator, or does Cricket Australia have, in regards to making sure that the team is of competitive nature when your top end players are Finch and Maddison and Marsh and Narby, who are veterans to say the least, and then you drop off to a lot younger group? Are you concerned about the way the Renegades go about it, or Cricket Victoria goes about it?
I'm probably not going to comment on individual team list management strategies, other than to say we want all eight clubs to be as competitive as they can be, and, you know, right down to the last game of every season, and ideally the last ball of every game. And I think we saw even yesterday the game with the Renegades that they got close to that victory. They had a couple of good games, you know, in the last couple of nights. We want them to be competitive. We think they're really close. We work really closely with the general managers of each club on understanding their list strategy and how we can help, whether that's to help them connect with, you know, the players around the world, etc. So, yeah, absolutely, we're interested in every club being really competitive. I think from a Renegade specific perspective, they've obviously got, you know, some big names that have had a good end to the season, and we hope they can continue to improve and be back in the mix next year.
The Eliminator tomorrow night, MCG. Qualify Marvel on Saturday. MCG again Sunday, and then to be confirmed on January 26th, and the final, which a lot of people like that name change there. I've noticed on the broadcasters, I want to call it something a bit more jazz, on the 28th. Can you just give our listeners an idea of the venues, who decides on the venue, and have you heard from the respective clubs in regards to franchises, in regards to what we're expecting for the last two games, for the Challenger and the final, where they're going to be played?
Yeah, we're working through that with the club. So obviously the last two games will be either hosted by the Scorchers or the Sixers as the final series works. I think, you know, depending on where the Sixers, how they go this Saturday night, there's likely to be a final next week in Sydney. And then obviously working with the Scorchers, they've nominated at this stage Marvel as their preferred home venue. And I think as the team finishing on top of the ladder, they've had the right. Unfortunately, they can't get back and play at Optus, which is obviously where we'd all love to be. But, you know, they've nominated Marvel Stadium. So the likelihood is next week there'll be one more game at Marvel and then a game at the SCG. It'll just come down to which order.
What's a tick? What's a pass mark for some crowds, Alistair? Do you set any of those, or is it just not even worth worrying about, considering, well, first of all, if they're going to be games, they're going to be in Melbourne. You're going to have no Melbourne teams in there. So that's not an attraction to Victorian cricket fans. But what's a pass mark for Cricket Australia and the team at the BBL?
Oh, look, I think it's really hard to put it, to your point, to put a specific number on it. We hope that if we can get to Sydney and the Sixers play a game up there, obviously, you know, they've continued to turn out in big numbers. We'll go pretty hard on that with the club and all the, you know, the Sixers fans in Sydney. So that'll be probably the one that we'll work the hardest on and look at, you know, from a competition perspective. I think the other games, as you say, with teams in Melbourne. That said, there'll be great cricket, and we'd encourage everyone, all cricket fans in Melbourne, to get out and have a look at the games across this weekend. I think they're the five best teams, particularly the Scorchers and the Sixers on Saturday night at Marvel. That's a rivalry that's been developing for a couple of years. People will remember some of the controversy last year around a couple of the Sixers and Scorchers games, and obviously a great final. So plenty of excitement and entertainment, I reckon, if you're a cricket fan in Melbourne this weekend.
Yeah, they don't like each other. There's little doubt about that, which is fantastic in a respectful way, of course. Alistair, before we let you go, and we appreciate your time, just, mate, I know you can't side with a team. You can't be shown to be biased, but give me your prediction. Who wins the title from here? And is there any thought of changing the Big Bash final to something a little bit more snazzier and sexy in the future?
Well, to your second question, Tim, I think I'd be open to ideas. So if any of your listeners or yourself have an idea, let us know. I think we liked the names for the finals, and we thought the final was an appropriate grandeur around that particular game. But
you could call it the Scorcher.
Oh, that'd probably be leaning one way. Maybe we could name it after the top finishing team each year. But I think on your on your first point around the tip, as strange as it sounds, I think the last two seasons we've seen the team that hasn't been able to play at home finish, you know, in or around the top of the ladder. The Sixers last year travelled the whole season and were able to win it. And there's something about that this year with the Scorchers, with a couple of their big players coming back from national duties, and they just have that vibe about them where they look like they're hard to beat. And I think, you know, I think with the season they've had in the year that WA cricket have had, with not being able, you know, obviously not being able to have a test match and losing over those Scorchers games, part of me feels like that would be a bit of a reward for them in a really tough year. So, and they look like they're going to be pretty hard to beat.
Yeah, I like the cut of your cloth. Great man. Nice selection. when do you debrief? When do you sit down as a group and go, all right, let's. There's the column. What did we do well? What didn't we do well? When do you sit down as a collective?
Oh, I mean, we've already started to a degree, although it's been a pretty hectic and a little traumatic the past two or three weeks just to keep it going. So I think everyone involved in the Big Bash will be looking forward to a breather, particularly our players and our clubs and match officials and curators and everyone who we've asked an enormous amount of, not the least of which the team in at CA itself. But we'll start that pretty quick. Lots of ideas already coming in. We're pretty ambitious about what we can do next season and just really want to bounce back to what everyone loves about the Big Bash next year.
Appreciate your time, mate. And I think everyone should be congratulated, in particular the players and the staff, to get this competition, keep it going. It's given us something to watch for the best part. Attendances will bounce back. We just got to get into some sort of normal way of life. And we look forward to some games being over in Perth as well. Optus Stadium is a beautiful stadium. Thanks for your time, mate. Appreciate it.
Anytime, Tim. Thanks.
Alistair Dobson, BBL General Manager. Agree or disagree? Very positive, but he's got to be. I'm not going to sit here and bash his own competition. I think they've done a remarkable job to keep the comp going. I think it's too long, no doubt. It is way too long, but I'm not a fixture person. I don't understand the formalities of it and how they could. Do they just play each other once for this year? How does it play out? I'm not sure. If you've got any suggestions, love to hear from you. Give us a call. But it does need to be condensed, and maybe it just needs to be in one state or two states max where they hub down, and this is not even COVID-related. Next year, let's play all games in Sydney and Melbourne. Sell it in Sydney and Melbourne. The following year, Adelaide, Perth, Brisbane, Tassie, whatever the combination you want to be. And just so the cost of flying people and DRS and commentators around the country, let's minimise that, because they've no doubt that Cricket Australia would have taken a hit due to the lack of crowds going in. But I genuinely think, and a lot of you can agree or disagree, or a lot of you might be saying to us, I would normally go, but it's COVID and I'm not going to put my family through it, but I still care about it. I've still watched it on TV and I still have a team that I follow. And I do believe that what Glenn Maxwell and Marcus Stoinis, to a lesser extent, did last night will absolutely give us something to thrive on for next year, something to build on. And I know the Stars promise and tease and tease and tease and tease, but they finished in a style that will be long talked about for many, many months to come before next year's Big Bash. I hope it bounces back. I think it's a very important part of our television viewing, our live viewing, and our youngsters of today. Mornings for Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy. And the all-new Hyundai Starry Load fits in everything.